Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 27, the stanzas 1 through 4. O God, preserve me, for in thee alone my trust has stood. My soul has said, thou art my Lord, my chief and only good. And what follows? Psalter 27, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 2 Samuel 6. First, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Samuel 6. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baali of Judah to bring up from thence the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his heir, and there he died by the Ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the Ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the Ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the Ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him, because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be head in honor." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, the creator and the upholder of all the earth, then thou wast given on this day of rest, that by renewal the doors of thy house have been opened, and that a part of the congregation may come up to thy house. Then we may humbly ask thee that the time may soon arrive, that the whole congregation may come to church. Wilt thou bless what was read in the midst of the congregation in this morning hour and in this afternoon, and wilt thou remember us? Lord, then how good thou art. Then thou yet granteth many blessings here for the time. We may still have the truth of thy holy word. We and our children may still have a place under thy Son, and still a place above the earth. Thou yet maketh a difference where there is no difference. The last 3 weeks, then as a congregation, then we were called upon with mourning families to go to the cemetery. Also in the past week, to bring a young daughter of 3 months old to the grave, O Lord. Then by renewal, then we humbly ask of Thee that Thou may remember, that Thou may uphold that young father and that young mother with their great loss. Oh, do grant them a place at Thy footstool. Remember all the mourning family circles amongst us, where also wounds have been reopened. And may out of the mourning for dear ones, may that mourning be borne for our sins, that missing of Thee, and that crying for mercy, Lord. Bind the seriousness, the solemnity, and shortness of life upon all our hearts. And when Thou spareth us week after week, may we not all take it for granted, but may we be given to see Thy hand therein, and that we may be humbled thereunder. Then in the past week, then Thou wast also blessed to family circles with the birth of a little child, grant a humble and a broken heart. Thou wast spared life, Thou wast given life, and may they be little children born to be born again. Then Thou wast also granted that a father and mother, that they may return to their dwelling place with 2 children, a newborn child, and also him. A word has pleased Thee to put Thy hand between him and death. May they be given to be wonder. All Thy mercies, a son has underwent surgery, Thou hast helped him out and helped him through. Wilt Thou grant further healing and strengthening, and may this calling be used in his young life, where Thou art saying, My son, give me Thy heart, Lord. Thou knowest we are not able, we are not willing. May it please Thee to take it, then he shall give it to Thee freely. We commend unto Thee the old widow, the oldest member of the congregation now, that remains in the hospital. May the means be further blessed. The doctors have indicated that perhaps in the day of tomorrow she may return to Bethesda. Above all, may this calling be sanctified, Lord. Remember all our elderly ones in the care home bound to their home. Remember for body and for soul. Wilt Thou remember all the sick, the afflicted, all under the doctor's care. May the means be blessed. The circumstances are all known unto Thee. The crosses and the burdens, the family circles. May love abound when it is not so, wilt Thou grant it. And what is separated, may it please Thee according to Thy institution to bring it together. Lord, may it please Thee to continue to provide for our daily bread. May it also please Thee to grant refreshing showers for the thirsty earth. Wilt Thou also do it in the midst of Thy church. And to that end, Lord, we humbly beg of Thee for a blessing upon Thy holy word. Wealth, thou dwell richly amongst us. We have read it together out of thy word, that when the ark has received a place in the house of Obed-Edom, then it was seen that his house, that it was blessed indeed to that end. May it please thee to dwell richly amongst us with thy Holy Spirit. Be not as a stranger in the land, or as one that tarries for a night, or as a mighty man, as the prophet has declared, as a mighty man astonished that cannot save. But may it please thee to do a great work amongst us, O Lord. There are so many among young and old that are still for their own account, the original sin and all the actual sins that they have committed. They are all on their own account. And if they are not taken off of that account by thy work, then what shall it be to appear before thee? And to that end, ah, Lord, may it please thee in this very hour, that sinners may be pricked in their heart. Then by renewal, we hope to stand at the foot of Mount Sinai. We have already heard wonderful things, and already the first commandment may it be used for uncovering, that we may be placed in the guilt, and that there may be a crying for mercy, but also in the life of thy children, in the way of sanctification, may it be for uncovering and for instruction. Ah, grant unto thy people that close and that tender life, well, to drive all that unbelief away. It is, O God, dishonoring, and it robs thy church of so much comfort. But, Lord, thy people, they learn what that father has exclaimed, Lord, I believe. And there are times that they do not even dare to say those words. But those times, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. May they be administered out of thy fullness. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember all thy servants, those that are old, those that are weak. Well, thou help and remember the student. Remember elders and deacons, all the sowers of the word. Well, thou so remember consistory and congregation. Well, thou help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children. May their eyes be upon thee. Well, thou grant thy help. Then thou wast also granted unto fathers and mother helps, in the way that thy word may be declared in the church, but also our Christian school. When thou shalt grant it, then it hopes to commence another year. Then we commend unto thee the school board, the administration, the staff, the bus drivers, all those that may labor in the school. Well, thou grant thy gracious help, may it be carried upon the wings of prayer, and may it please thee to add thy blessing. Lord, then we commend unto thee a young couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony toward the end of this week. Well, thou be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Well, thou go before them, add thy blessing. May thy special presence be felt, and may it be experienced. Well, thou grant unto all of our young people one with whom they may go through this life, around the old truths and around the old ways. Lord, then we remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our country that has departed so far from thy word and from thy institutions. Wilt thou remember the leaders of this province, of the cities, also of our town? And may there yet be a turning while it can yet and while it may yet. Wilt thou grant unto thy church that we may turn from our evil and our worldly ways. May we be more beggars at the throne of grace. And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee that thou may grant thy gracious help in this morning, in this evening hour. Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee. Oh, may it please thee to open thy blessed word. Anoint us with fresh oil from above. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou remember all the hearers? Graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance. Oh, the buyers and the sellers in a temporal way, but also in a spiritual way. Oh, teach us that it is grace and grace alone by which we can be saved. Wilt thou so go from bench to bench and from heart to heart? Remember all those in their dwellings. Wilt thou also help them to listen, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 423, the stanzas 4 and 6. Confounded be all they who in their folly pray to gods of man's creation and boast of vain salvation. Jehovah, him we laud, for he alone is God. And what follows, Psalter 423, the stanzas 4 and 6. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 35, the question and answers 96 through 98. Question 96, what doth God require in the second commandment? Answer, that we in no wise represent God by images, nor worship Him in any other way than He has commanded in His Word. Question 97, are images then not at all to be made? Answer, God neither can nor may be represented by any means, but as to creatures, though they may be represented, yet God forbids to make or have any resemblance of them, either in order to worship them or to serve God by them. Question 98, but may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the lady? Answer, no. For we must not pretend to be wiser than God, who will have His people taught not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of His Word. Lord's Day number 35 speaks of the second commandment, which speaks of how we must worship God. With four thoughts in the first place, the forbidden worship. In the second place, the required worship. In the third place, the taught worship. And in the fourth place, the recorded worship. The second commandment, which speaks of how we must worship God, the forbidden worship, the required worship, the taught worship, and the recorded worship. Beloved congregation, then in this evening, then by renewal with our thoughts, then we are called upon to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai. We have already, according to the instruction out of our Heidelberg Catechism, dwelt at its foot. And then in the context, because boys and girls, then you remember the first question of our Heidelberg Catechism, what is thy only comfort in life and death? And then with the introduction, then what precious and rich things that the Lord has said, proclaimed unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, young and old. Has that ever become a comfort for us? Are we included in that rich proclamation? Has that living God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, by grace, has He become our God? Have we learned to sigh and to cry in the house of bondage? Have we learned that we could never satisfy justice. That people, they have experienced such wonderful things. The Lord has said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They have come through the Red Sea, and now by renewal, the Lord was speaking unto them in a special way. Then the last Lord's Day, then we were given to consider the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And how has it now been with that first commandment? Have we thought about it in the week that lies behind us? Or has the message stayed in the church? No other gods, no other idols, something that we love, trust, and honor more than the living God. Do you know what is necessary, congregation? That the Lord, each time by renewal, that he sends Nathan to us, thou art a man, and that we are given to cry and to beg for mercy, young and old, when we consider our idols. Husbands, has it ever been a wonder unto you that you may still have a wife, and a wife a husband, and parents, children, that we may still have our possessions? We have heard what idols there are, and a wonder that we may still have a place upon the earth, because the greatest idol, that is I. Some months ago, then we have spoken out of Revelation 13, and that the devil has tried to imitate the Lord, that the dragon compares himself to the Father, the beast out of the sea to the Son of God, because we read that the dragon has given his power unto the beast, and that the beast out of the earth, trying to imitate the Holy Spirit, magnifying the beast out of the sea. When we consider that first commandment, then alas, we live in a very fearful time, where there are so many anti-Christian governments. In Romans 13, we read that they are powers ordained of God, that the Lord has placed them, that the country may be reigned over, but according to the word of God. But now anti-Christian governments, then we see it more and more in our time, not to reign on behalf of God, but that they act as if they are God himself. A certain one has written that the anti-Christian governments of our time, that they are also trying to imitate the Trinity, that the government acts as the Father, and who is the Son, that is all the social programs that the government gives, that when the people are in trouble, when they are in need, then they do not go to the Lord, but then they must come to the government. And that one is written, and the Holy Spirit, that is the media. Now we have come in this evening hour to the second commandment. And then already surely, when we have heard the first commandment, then we have heard that we and our children, even boys and girls, then they can have things that have such a large place in their life, a toy tractor, a doll, whatever it may be. Then we have heard that we are guilty, but young and old, where does it leave us? Can we continue with our guilt? Or do we know what it is to be given to bow in the dust as a poor sinner and to be given to beg for mercy and for forgiveness? Lord, stay number 35 that speaks of the second commandment. Then there is a distinction we have said last Lord's Day that the Roman Catholics and the Lutheran Church that they have combined the first and the second commandment, but there is a distinction. In the first commandment, there is spoken of whom we must worship. And now in the second commandment, how we are to worship. And then when we read this Lord's Day, then perhaps our thoughts, they go out to the Roman Catholic Church with the images and the heathens which have their idol gods. It is true. It seems that the simpler heathens, that there are those that have an impression that the object they are bowing down to and worshiping is the God Himself. But many heathens, they have an impression that their God is only something they can see, through whom they may worship the God of the heavens and of the earth. So also in the Roman Catholic Church, then we hope to hear later, they have those images that they may be a help for the people, and that through those images that they may worship the Lord the better. When we consider the children of Israel, then they were guilty both of the first and of the second commandment. When they have worshipped and adored the heathen gods, when they have bowed down to Baal, then they were guilty of the first commandment. And now the children of Israel, we have heard it at Mount Sinai, that they have trembled at the voice of God. And in Exodus 19, and in Exodus 24, two times, then they have told the Lord, they have told Moses, all that the Lord commanded us, we shall do. And how soon that they have fallen into the sin against the second commandment. Our boys and girls, you know what they have done when Moses was on the Mount 40 days and when he did not return. And then they have asked Aaron that he would make a golden calf. Oh, what is man to make a golden calf to represent that mighty God who has brought them out of the land of Egypt? And then it is clear that the children of Israel did not think that that calf was a god, because they have said in Exodus 32, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of Egypt. Was the same when Jeroboam has made those golden calves in Bethel and Dan. Then they did not say that those golden calves were God, but that they could worship the Lord through those golden calves. Then we read what doth God require in the second commandment, that we in no wise represent God by images, nor worship Him in any other way that He has prescribed by His word. And then in answer 97, God neither can nor may be represented by any means. Thus, in the first place, then the instructors are impressing upon our heart that God cannot be represented by any means, because in John 4, verse 24, I read, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is so incomprehensible, He is infinite, He cannot be represented by any means. For those that make an idol of their God, then they are limiting, then they are denying the omnipresence of the Lord, so we cannot. Then maybe one says, maybe a child think, because we must try to think along, that in the Bible, then there is spoken of God, that He has an arm, a hand, ears, and eyes. But I think, boys and girls, you can understand it. That is a figurative way of speaking. Then the Lord speaks in such a way in His Word that we creatures with our little minds, that we may have a little comprehension of the divine attributes of the Lord. Thus He cannot, but also He may not, because in the first place it is forbidden, and in the second place, then in this Lord's day, then many, they draw pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is also forbidden in this commandment. In the first place, there is no one that knows how the Lord Jesus Christ has looked in His human nature. And we must remember that Christ, that He was human and divine, then we are separating the two. And then also the Holy Ghost. We must not picture the Spirit as a dove, it is true. With the baptism of Christ, He has descended in the form of a dove. But our instructors, God neither can and nor may be represented by any means. Our second thought, the required worship. Because when the Lord says in this commandment the negative, what we are not allowed to do, then it is implied a spiritual worship. And then the question, let us lay that question close to our hearts. When we bow our knees, when we walk upon the earth, and we think about who God is, then what an image do we have in our mind? What image do we have in our heart? Is there then that awe? Is there then that reverence? Then this commandment also condemns form and duty, our listlessness in our religious duties. But may He ask you, do we walk upon the earth as if God has no eyes? I think our boys and girls, they know what I mean. Though we walk upon this earth with no impression or with very little impression that the Lord sees everything what we do and what we do not do. Do we walk upon this earth as if there is a God with no ears? When we come in difficulties, do we have a God that does not have an almighty arm, for whom nothing is too wonderful? Thus, the required spiritual worship that Samaritan woman in John 4, when she has come to the well of water to fill her pots with water, and then Jesus has met her, it is written, he must needs go through Samaria. What a blessed people. When Jesus must walk through their midst, and then they have spoken of water, and then Jesus has finally said, call thy husband. And she has honestly confessed her sin. And then Jesus has said, thou art five husbands, and he whom thou art living with is not thy husband. And then she perceived that he was a prophet. And then that woman has become busy with her worship, how she has worshiped the Lord. And then she has said, our fathers have commanded us to worship in this mountain. Used to be the temple on Mount Gerizim where the Samaritans worshiped. And thou sayest, we must worship at Jerusalem. Thus that Samaritan woman, when she was convicted of her sins, then she also became exercised with her worship. Then it has all come back. And then she was given to ask how and where she must worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thus concerning our second point, what God do we worship? Is it the God of the Scriptures, where his wonderful and divine attributes are declared? When we bow our knees, do we worship a God that is so holy, so righteous, so majestic and lifted up? How necessary that we ask that the Lord fills our heart with reverence and with awe. When in this commandment there deals with image worship, then the Lord also requires, when we come in his holy presence, that we come not as an image that is dead, that is hard, that is lifeless, all concerning that spiritual worship. Then how necessary the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When we think of the Church of God, when we think of the children of Israel, the God whom they have worshipped, oh, that great sin of unbelief robs God of his glory and robs the child of much comfort. And now the church learns that of themselves they can bring forth nothing, but that God is honoring unbelief. Oh, the necessity of the prayer of that Father, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When we think of the children of Israel, they have experienced such wonderful things. They have experienced that for the Lord, nothing is too wonderful. The Lord has everything in His hands. The Lord has divided the Red Sea. The children of Israel have went through. A Pharaoh was drowned. They have heard the audible voice from Mount Sinai. And yet that people, when the Lord has led them in a roundabout way, when they have come before the Red Sea, then they could not understand it. And then Moses had to command that they had to go forward, all that people. Each time by renewal they have questioned the Lord, they have murmured, and that they would perish in the wilderness soon. They ran out of water. Oh, think of Numbers 11. When they have become tired of that manna, and the Lord has said that they would receive flesh, then even Moses has said, Lord, shall all the fish of the sea be caught, and all our flocks slain? It shall not suffice. Ah, that unbelief. That is such a small God. When they come in impossibilities, then unless the Lord grants that exercise of faith, then they do not have a mighty God. They do not have a wise God, this congregation. Then by renewal we hear, as it is written in Psalm 119, that the commandment is exceeding broad, and what is now necessary, that we may diligently and prayerfully search the Scriptures, and that the Lord may teach us, the Lord may quicken us, that God may become real in our life and our sin. And when the Lord works, then there shall be a bowing, and then there shall be adoring, and then the Lord worketh by love, and then the Lord has a people that learns to love that God, and that has to ask each time by renewal the work of the Holy Spirit, the exercise of faith, our third thought, the taught worship, but let us first sing. Of Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows, 435, the first three stanzas. Thank you. The second commandment, which speaks of how we must worship God. The forbidden worship, the required worship, and now in our third thought, the taught worship. Then we read in answer 96, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. And in question and answer 98, but may not images be tolerated in the churches as books to the lady? Answer, no. For we must not proceed to be wiser than God, who will have us people taught, not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of his word. Then in answer 97, it is written that creatures, pictures, statutes, they may be represented, yet God forbids or have any resemblance of them, either in order to worship them or to serve God by them. Thus our third thought, that is the taught worship of God. In the time of the Reformation, then the Reformers, they have called the people back to the Word of God. Because in the church, many things have entered where they had no warrant in the Word of God. It is true, in that respect, there was some difference, between Luther and Calvin. They have both learned what it is to be saved by free and sovereign grace. And we must understand that Martin Luther was a reformer, a first generation reformer, if we may say it so. He was born in 1484 or 83, and John Calvin approximately 25 years later. Then Martin Luther, then he has permitted what was not absolutely forbidden in God's word, as a help that the people may be taught. But John Calvin has stressed, especially concerning the worship services, that we need a warrant in God's word of what takes place when the Lord is worshipped, especially when the multitudes may come together. Concerning the images in the first four centuries of the Christian church, then many times Christians were called atheists because they did not have a visible God. In the 8th century, there has come much debate in the midst of the Christian church whether images were allowed. They have also entered slowly. It seems first that martyrs, well-known martyrs, that have given their life for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, statues were made, pictures, they were placed in the church. Later, images of ones that we find in the Bible. Then in the 8th century, then in Constantinople, in the year 754, a council was held. And then that council has very strongly condemned images in the church, in the worship service, although later it has been turned around. And now concerning all our instructors have stressed, nor worship Him in any other way than He has commanded in His Word. We have read together from 2 Samuel 6. Oh, that a Samuel had a vehement desire that the ark of the Lord it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the ark that is dwelt in the house of Abinadab, that it may be brought up to the city of David. What a good and what a precious desire. And now that history, we also read in 1 Chronicles 13 and 1 Chronicles 15. And then we read that David has consulted with the elders to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. And then they have thought that they would do it even better than the Lord has subscribed, because the Lord has written in the law of Moses, which He has given to Moses, that only the Levites may carry the ark of the Lord. And then we have heard what has taken place, that Uzzah, he has stretched forth his hand that the ark would not fall, and that Uzzah was slain, and David was displeased, and then he did not dare to carry the ark any further. And oh, but Edom, oh, he has offered his house freely that that ark may come in his house. And then we have heard it, that the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom in a special way. It is so necessary that the ark may richly dwell in the midst of the church. Thus, David thought to do it different, even better than the Lord. Because have the Philistines not done the same? When they have sent that ark back, then they have also put it on a cart. Then David did not worship the Lord as prescribed in His Word. But then, oh, he has heard that the house of Obed-Edom was blessed. And then a desire, that ark must come to the city of David. And then in 1 Chronicles 15, then we read that the Levites, that he must carry the ark. And so it was brought to the city of David, and David was given to rejoice, and a Michael's wife was given to despise. That is the religious world. And now, congregation, we live in a day that how many churches that they have sought out other means, not asking what the Lord has prescribed in His Word, but to be wiser than the Lord, than the preaching of the Word of God and the sacraments is not sufficient, but then they need amusement, recreation, and the list is long. And then the Spirit departs. Thus, the solemn instruction in this Lord's Day, nor worship Him in any other way than He has commanded in His Word. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, not that we agree with all of his theology and his ways, nevertheless, in that time, he has stated something very profound. And then he has stated that in the next century, there would come a time that six things would be experienced in the church. And then he has written in the first place, there would come a religion or without the work of the Holy Ghost. In the second place, there would be spoken of salvation without regeneration. In the third place, a Christianity without Jesus Christ. In the fourth place, that there would be spoken of forgiveness without Jesus Christ. In the fifth place, there would be spoken of heaven without hell. And in the sixth place, that there would be politics without God. And how true that has become. And to that end, congregation, may we be given to stand for the old truth and the old ways. The Lord has declared in His Word that by the foolishness of preaching that He shall save some. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Lord has also given the sacraments for the strengthening of the faith of His people. Our forethought, that is the recorded worship, because we read at the end of this commandment, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." What are we to understand when the Lord speaks? Oh, that He is a jealous God. He is jealous of His honor, and He is jealous of His worship. And then He speaks, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. What are we now to understand by that expression, hate me? Does that now refer to the enmity of the natural heart? Because by nature, then we are all haters of God. No, that cannot be. Because then He would visit the whole earth. And when we read, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments," does that then speak of the love of natural man? No, that cannot be. Because then it is implied that the Lord would show mercy because a people loves Him. But this last portion of the second commandment, we read a similar matter in Psalm 103, the verses 17 and 18, that the Lord showeth mercy to thousands of them that love Him and that keep His covenant and remember His commandments to do them, also written, and His righteousness to children's children. Then those words refer to the worship of the living God. When there is a people that boldly and openly come against the Word of God, His revealed will, and the way in which the Lord has commanded to worship, when there is a people that choose a different way and rebel against the Lord that is referred to, then the Lord shall visit that people unto the third and fourth generation. We have the examples in the Scriptures. Think of Jeroboam, the first king of Israel, who was thought that he was afraid that his people, that they would return to the two tribes to worship, and that he has set up those golden calves. Forbidden by the Lord, the Lord has sent a prophet to warn, but he has continued. And then we read that solemn statement different times. A Jeroboam who made Israel to sin. And then the Lord has sent a prophet that his family would be destroyed. The third and the fourth generation. Also the family of Ahab. Think even of the family of Eli concerning the priesthood. Because he has not removed his sons, that things were taking place concerning the worship of the Lord. And then the Lord has sent that solemn message that priesthood, that it would be removed from his family and would be transferred to another son of Aaron. We even read of a Manasseh, that king, whom the Lord has converted. But during that reformation of Uzziah, where there was a returning to the Lord, then the Lord has even said in 2 Kings 23, verse 25, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his wrath, wherewith his wrath was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh has provoked him. Thus, what a solemn word, congregation, visiting the iniquities of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, fathers and mothers, what a warning, that God's word may have a special place in our homes, that there may be that reverence for the worship of the Lord. And then one shall say, but do we not read in Ezekiel 18, the verses 19 through 23, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Do we not have the children of Korah that were saved? It is true. When the children, when the coming generations may return to the Lord, then the Lord shall remember them. But as a general rule, when the worship of God is despised, to give an example, when there would be fathers and mothers under normal circumstances that would only come to church once on the Lord's Day, then as a general rule, the Lord can do wonders. But as a general rule, the next generation shall come less or not at all. But then we read of the great mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord greater, because when it speaks of the iniquity, the third and the fourth generation, but then we read, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, then the Lord promises, when there may be respect for God's word, for his house, for his institutions, for his day, that the Lord shall promise to bless and to work from generation to generation. Do we not have the example out of Jeremiah 35 of those Rechabites, where they were given to honor their father and mother, and then it was pronounced, not one man to stand before me forever, and therefore young and old, the necessity that God's word may have authority, and concerning the worship to the old truth and the old ways. The second commandment, then by renewal, then we are all guilty. And then the necessity that we are given to beg of the Lord for his mercy in Jesus Christ. That is by the first time, but also in the life of God's children. And now, the proper spiritual worship. What beautiful, what precious examples we have in the Bible. Oh, of a Ruth that has made that good and precious choice, and that may come on the fields of Boaz in the Psalms. What precious prayers we have of supplication and of praise. Oh, think of the centurion who was given to say not worthy that the Lord would come under his roof. Think of the Canaanitish woman. Ah, she has come with her great need, and she has fallen before the Lord. Help, Lord, as she was given to plead upon what the Lord has said. Ah, we have the example of a Mary. We find her oftentimes at the feet of Jesus. Ah, to listen, but also to come to anoint with that precious ointment. What a precious example we have of the church on the day of the resurrection. Ah, we have the example in Luke 18, and there we read of a Pharisee and of a publican, and the publican, he thought he was quite good. I thank thee, Lord, that I am not as other men. And then he has mentioned different sins, or even as this publican. But then we have the beautiful example, young and old. Have we now ever become a publican? Or after the first two commandments, is it then not clear that we are very guilty before such a good-doing, such a holy and a righteous God? And then how fitting, how necessary. Ah, that prayer needs to be learned here below. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, it has pleased thee to grant another Lord's Day. May it please thee to add thy blessing. And then we humbly beg of thee that thou may watch over us in this week. Wilt thou spare? Wilt thou provide? Wilt thou care? Wilt thou protect? Bless all the labors of our hand. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? And wilt thou remember tomorrow evening when the confession of faith class hopes to meet with the consistory, our Lord? Wilt thou help them, and wilt thou be mindful of them? Wilt thou gather us round about thy holy word, when in this week we hope to commend all the needs of our Christian school unto thee, and they are manifold, and that it may please thee, that thou may add thy blessing, that it may be for the coming of thy kingdom. Remember the young couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony. And wilt thou also remember the parents with their children when the parents on the coming Sabbath day hope to present their little children to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant. Oh, may it please thee to truly grant a week of preparation indeed, Lord. Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? Remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings and forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 306, the four stanzas. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise His name with one accord. Oh, bless ye the Lord, his name adore, from this time forth forevermore, and what follows. 306, the four stanzas. Save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.